We're in Parshat Yitro. Last time we discussed the first section of Parshat Yitro. Why is Yitro there? Why is that an injunction to Kabbalah Satorah and the Aseret HaDibrot? We're going to jump right in today into the topic of the Aseret HaDibrot themselves. We're quickly running out of days. The semester is running away from us, and we have to get through the rest of Sefer Shemot. We want to at least get through. The goal is, again, to get through the key themes, the underlying themes that unify everything, the larger, broader themes, at least some of them that begin to build up a vessel for us for Torah. So we're going to start to move a little bit quicker. I'm going to try to actually divide this time we have now into two parts, dealing with the Aseret HaDibrot, and we may even jump into Parshat Mishpatim already next week. When we last talked about the Aseret HaDibrot, what was the context in which we talked about the Aseret HaDibrot a few weeks ago? Excellent. I don't know why we're changing the status quo, but I'm not. Okay. Is that bad?
Everything just turned over together.
I apologize. But such is life. What context did we talk about the Aseret HaDibrot?
The Makot and the Ma'amarot.
Excellent. We had the Makot, we had the Ma'amarot, and we had the Dibrot. And we said all of these are systems of 10. 10 Ma'amarot, 10 Makot, 10 Dibrot. And it's incredibly significant stations within the course of the entirety of human history. The fact that they all happen to be systems of 10 must be significant. All things in Torah are soaked with meaning. So if these things are unified by the fact that they all are 10, then there must be some sort of progression, some sort of unity between them. And the way that we described them previously is that the 10 Ma'amarot, how did we describe them? What word do we use in English even?
The sings.
The what?
Sings.
Not in terms of the literal translation, but in terms of their content, their meaning. Taking the Makot out for a moment. These were the... Anybody? Thank you. The vessels. And these are the... The Aseret HaDibrot. The content. Right? That in the 10 Ma'amarot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds the 10 vessels into the world, creates space within the world, or rather creates space, period. He creates vessels. Vessels that we defined actually previously as vessels of Chol. And with the Aseret HaDibrot now, taking everything that we learned before forward, meaning, Kilo, we're not going to retread all of those steps. That the Aseret HaDibrot then give those vessels of Chol their content of Kodesh. We talked about it in the middle, and that was really what we were talking about previously, how the Ten Makot are purifying all of the Tum'ah that came into those vessels over the course of history in order to make way for them to be filled with the content of Kedusha. We're not going to go back there. That was our Makot discussions from Va'era and from Bo. Pasuk that we quoted in that context, I'm feeling more heresy coming on by erasing this as well, but such is life. Sorry. Oh, no, this is not. This is just a free hour thing that nobody's interested in. Okay. I know, I'm really excited that you're all going to be. I'm totally serious. I think it'll be the funniest thing ever, and it'll make everybody happy. Okay.
She's bringing brownies.
I know, I gave her the budget for today. The pasuk that we quoted in that context was Imlo Briti. Anybody have that in their notes or remember the quote? Give us two words.
Imlo Briti.
What words are you missing? Yo Mam Valaila. And then as Marissa just said, Hukot Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. If not for my covenant, then day and night, the entire systems of heaven and earth, Lo Samti, I wouldn't have placed in this world. Meaning the only way that these 10 Ma'amarot have significance, have meaning, the only thing that allows them to have kium, as we saw also, we talked about by Yom HaShishi, is specified in the creation of the world itself. It's Hashishi. And what's Hashishi? So Rashi brings two different opinions from Chazal. One of them is that it's waiting for the sixth day of Sivan when we receive the Torah, and that the whole world is standing there waiting to find out that if we're going to receive the Torah, because if we don't receive the Torah, the world has no right to exist. Because all of the physical world is just a vessel of Chol waiting for its content of Kodesh. And also the way that we define Kiddushah as being moving from Amarot, which are sayings, which are saying to or at, versus Dibrot. Dibor has a connotation of a back and forth of that relationship, the relationship of Kiddushah that's all involved in what's happening here as we become, as it says in our Parsha, a Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, we become God's holy nation connected and linked to Him. Okay. All of that ring true, remember? Spoke of that before. So now let's take all of that that we built earlier and take it one step further. Okay? The Rishonim and the Mekubalim, they all point out, many of them point out, what does it mean to have Aseret HaDibrot? Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a sampling of Torah before He gives us the rest of the Torah. Is it the most important parts of Torah? Well, that gets tricky. In fact, we learned it last year in Halacha that we don't say the Aseret HaDibrot every morning publicly, because Chas V'Shalom people would say that's the main part of Torah and everything else is details. But there's clearly some sort of primacy given to the Aseret HaDibrot. They're separate, they're unique, they're differentiated. They exist here in this special way. We have a minhag in most communities to stand for the Aseret HaDibrot. They're definitely unique. In what way are they unique? So many point out that what's unique about them is not that they're the 10 most important mitzvot Chas V'Shalom, but rather that all 613 mitzvot, that in fact all of Torah itself is contained within the 10, is contained within the Aseret HaDibrot. That it all stems from them. But that those Aseret HaDibrot contain within them all mitzvot and kolat Torah kula. Which is different than saying they're the most important. It's saying, no, it's all in there. It's a more condensed form. And the reason why we give deference to it is because it contains all of Torah inside of it. It's the origin and the building blocks and the roots of kolat Torah kula. In terms of the first one of the Aseret HaDibrot, we have Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We've actually talked about it in giving a contrast to the Rambam's understanding of Anochi Hashem Elokecha previously. But the Rambam understands that this is the first mitzvah and the mitzvah of Emunah. And we spent the whole shiur in Parshat B'Shalach talking about, it was the first one of Parshat B'Shalach, what is Emunah? I would claim that either way, I think it can still fit, meaning that the mitzvah of Emunah, the first mitzvah, is the mitzvah to engage in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whether it's knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, and therefore you want a relationship with Him, or whether it's because Emunah, we've defined it as ne'emanut, as having that faithful relationship with another being. That's the first one of the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, what we're going to claim is... What are you trying to figure out?
We're just reading your handwriting.
I apologize that you had to do that. Imlo briti, yomam valayla, chukat shamayim va'aretz lo samti. Lasim, milashon sam, lasim, to put, to place, to establish. Just like all of Torah is contained within the Aseret HaDibrot, well, my Rebbe claims, and I mean, like, it certainly resonates in my small mind. Just like all of Torah is contained within the Aseret HaDibrot, if you take it one stage back, all of the Aseret HaDibrot are contained within the first Dibor. Layers within layers. Everything's inside, one's inside another. Each one draws from another. And so the root and the source of all of the Aseret HaDibrot is the first Dibor. Of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shehotzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. which resonates also. What is the claim of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzicha Me'eretz Yisrael? Of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what is that? What does that mean? What does it mean?
I am Hashem.
I am Hashem. I am Hashem, your God. And because I am Hashem, your God, says God, we're in a relationship of... We're in a relationship, period. And that relationship has binding qualities, and it has mitzvot, and it has a Aseret HaDibrot, and it has 630 mitzvot. Each one stemming from the other. That's going to be the root and the source of all the Aseret HaDibrot themselves. And what's going to be the root of even all of the Aseret HaDibrot, even the first Dibor, if we take it even a step further back?
First word.
Anochi. Layers within layers within layers. Everything is stemming from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Anochi.
And the first letter?
So we'll go last. And then taking it one step back, as you all have jumped to, all the way back even, to that Aleph.
And then script the first part.
Oh, you want to get to the Yud, to the Aleph, and then the first part of the Aleph, and the Yud, and the Gutzot Shel Yud. Yeah, you could do that also, but then we're getting already very, very Kabbalistic. Let's try to stay only remotely Kabbalistic. But... Yes, but we're not going to go that far. You were kidding, but you were serious. But moving back, it's all coming back. It's all coming back to that Aleph. And each one again, and these could be each Shirim within themselves. In what way fully is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzicha Me'eretz Yisrael the root of all of the Aseret HaDibrot? In what way is Anochi, which would be the second half of Shir if we get to it today, how is that the source of all of the Aseret HaDibrot themselves? Even in Anochi, and how is the very Aleph itself, as we're going to start talking about now, how is the Aleph at the source of everything in and of itself? What did we start out Shiur today by contrasting? Well, we put one in parentheses. Marot and the Dibrot. What starts with a bet? The Mamarot begin with a bet. We have Anochi versus Bereshit. And the two are in parallel. We have a bet there. Now you say, that's all very nice, but why do I care that Anochi starts with an Aleph and Bereshit starts with a bet? So the answer is that Chazal cared that Anochi started with an Aleph and Bereshit started with a bet. And there's a very interesting Midrash Chazal that says as follows. It would. I actually did not investigate that. Because we left the Makot, but check it out. See what happens. See what you find. What? I don't know where you would necessarily define the beginning of the first Makah. Find me the Pasuk. Let's find out what letter it is. Let's talk about it. But for our purposes, having moved past the Makot for now in the context of this Shiur, the Mamarot and the Dibrot, we have the Aleph versus the Bet. And there's a Mamar Chazal which says that the world should have been created with an Aleph.
Is this like to make up for the fact that the world wasn't created?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a bet. And so instead, say Chazal, as appeasement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aleph the Aseret HaDibrot. Which is a cute story to put in Little Medrash says.
Yeah.
The question is, if it's coming from Chazal, what does that really mean? It's a very serious Midrash. What does that mean? What are Chazal trying to tell us? That the bet is starting off Bereshit, and somehow as a response to that, the Aseret HaDibrot are going to start with an Aleph. So to get into it, let's go back to Bereshit itself. We're all hopefully somewhat familiar with these Pesukim, but everybody flip back to the first page of your Chumash. Let's take a look at the opening psukim of the Torah itself. If we look even at just the first segment of Bereshit, we have Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. We have seven different segments here, each one happening on their own. It's a little bit of a question that is looking for a specific answer, for sure. But if you think about it for a second, in what framework do each of those seven segments exist? seven parts to creation, seven stages to creation. What's the framework for each one of them?
Days.
A day. How does the Torah itself frame that concept of a day by each one of the 10 days, the 7 days of creation? Vayera vayivoker, meaning relating to your part of the concept of day. Yes, the tov is a separate inyan. But yeah, erev and boker. Vayera vayivoker yom echad, vayera vayivoker yom sheni. The days exist. The framework of creation itself is through a framework of erev and boker. Of night and day, even before there were nights and days, meaning without getting into the issues of how you could have a night and a day when you don't have a sun and a moon for the first 3 days of creation. But that's so much so that it has to be within the framework of night and day, that even without the tools by which to do that we associate them with, the Kaddish Baruch Hu still frames them as night and day, vayera vayivoker. Even more strongly, what's created on the first day?
Light.
So light is created on the first day, and then Sasheri, well, dark is created on the first day also. And the answer is that's true. Now, but watch how it's phrased. Vayomer Elokim, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Elokim, Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. There's light. Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov. True. Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov. Vayavdel Elokim bein Haor uvein Hachoshech. What's the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? He distinguishes between light and dark. So much so, what the ways that in which we, in human terms, in our the way that we're able to make distinctions, to clarify the distinctions between things, is to give them names. We name things in order to give them an identity and a distinction. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do next? He names them. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom, v'lachoshech kara laila, or choshech yom laila, vayihi erev vayivoker yom echad. What do we keep setting up here than the very first day of creation? Erev boker, yom laila, or choshech. What are we doing? We're making distinctions, even say it a little bit more sharply.
Contrast and opposites.
Contrast, opposites.
Dichotomies.
Opposites. Olam Hazeh is created within a concept, within a context. Duality, that was the word that is fine. But they're all the same. Is created within a context of duality. Erev and Boker, Yom and Laila, Or and Choshech, from the very inception. I would claim even earlier than that. What's the first pasuk? And we spent many shiurim last year in Sefer Bereishit talking about the nature of that duality between Shemayim and Aretz. The push and pull between the two and the unity that's supposed to come to the two. But from the very first pasuk itself, et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. The whole of this first, again, we're always looking at different lenses, we're bringing out new layers. It's not to undermine anything else that we've talked about or that we see within the very complicated story of Bereishit in the first day and the first words of creation. But from one layer, looking at this, looking at one layer of this rich few psukim, five psukim, there's a strong sense of duality because this world is a world of duality. The created world is a world of duality. There's always a sense of the self and the other. There's always a sense of distinctions, of differentiation, of naming, of dividing. This world is a world of divisions and distinctions, and specifically of duality.
This world moving Olam Hazeh?
Yeah.
Did you ask why does it say Erev Boker, but there's no... Like,
no, I pointed out that it's... I think that strengthens the point, is that we even say Erev and Boker even though there isn't a sun and a moon.
But you're saying the first day?
Yeah.
Oh, just the first day.
The first day, the second day, and the third day. We don't get the sun and moon until the fourth day.
Oh, right.
What letter begins the process of the creation of that physical world? A bet. And what is bet indicative of? Duality, too. Very simply, begematria, it's two. But bet is the letter which implies, which creates a reality of duality. And so Bereshit, that which starts off the creative process of the physical world is a bet. It needs to be a bet because it's creating a reality of duality. It's creating a reality of distinction. Now, in response to that, what does a Jew do ideally? Specifically a Jewish male. Jewish women cannot din. What does a Jewish male do? What does a Jew do ideally? At the very turning points of that duality of day and night. No, not at night. Not at night. Maariv and Shacharit, or specifically Shema. The ideal times, very specifically, the ideal times to say Shema are specifically at those transitions between Erev and Boker, and Boker and Erev. The ideal times we learn in Halakha, in the Midrashah, this semester. When's the ideal time to say Shema? In the morning? Immediately before Nates, right before it turns into complete day, right at that transition point. And ideally, when is one supposed to say Kriyat Shema? At the first moment of night. Immediately at three stars. It's at those moments of transition that we say Shema. And what is Shema? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. At the moment of that duality, we state as a Jewish people that which defines us as being the people who reflect God's oneness in this world. We declare the unity that exists in reality in the face of the seeming duality that is the physical world. We declare the unity of God in this world, in a world that seems to reflect a duality. In fact, one of the most basic forms of paganism is an idolatry where there are two gods at war with one another. The gods of?
Sun, of day and night.
So much so, also, which we learned this semester in the context of Kriyat Shema, we ran through it because it's not relevant to us. We don't deal with that mostly in our day and age. Do you guys, any of you remember where we actually dealt with that very fact in the context of Birchot Kriyat Shema when we're learning together in Halacha? Even in the morning when we say the first bracha of Kriyat Shema and it's Birchot Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, says the Shulchan Aruch, we specifically say Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech, and it's a halacha l'maisa. It's in there in the Shulchan Aruch. Why do we say he doesn't even wait for the Mishnah Berurah? He didn't know the Mishnah Berurah was coming, but he doesn't wait for the Mishnah Berurah to spell it out. He says because we want to make it very clear that even though it's the morning, it's the same God at night and in the morning. So we're going to mention the midah of Laila Bayom. We're going to mention the midah of nighttime during the daytime to make it clear that even though we are davening now at the turn of the morning, it's not in contrast to. It's not in distinction to the nighttime. It penetrates the very bracha itself within the context of Birchot Kriyat Shema before we even get there. Because that was the basic pull. That's the most basic form of idolatry. Two opposites warring with each other, reflection of that bet of the world. Two opposites at war with each other. One wins, one loses. Comes along, Judaism comes along, Kriyat Shema. No, everything is one, everything is unified. Comes along the Torah and says that everything is aimed towards a source and an origin. It provides an underlying unity for everything. That's the underlying unity the Torah provides. It binds everything together. It binds everything together. When we put back the Torah, we sing a very powerful pasuk about what the Torah is. What mashal do we give to the Torah? And Eitz Chaim Yila Machazikim Ba. It's Domel Eitz.
An upside down tree?
Yes, but we're not going to go there right now. For clarity's sake, let's put it right side up. Okay? And in that tree, I've developed my drawings. in that tree. There is a question. Eitz chayim ila machazikim ba. Which part of the tree is the eitz? The trunk. There are two ways by which to look at the world. You can look at the world from here, which actually doesn't make sense. If you turn it upside down, you're looking from the ground up and whatever, fine. Those of you who understand that, turn it upside down. Or right side up, depending on how you look at it. But if you're looking at it from up here, what are you seeing? An endless number of disparate branches and leaves and all of these things that are spreading in totally opposite, distinct directions. There's only disparity. There's only spreading out. There's only disunity. L'machazikimah, for those who hold on to it, eitz chayim hi, it's an eitz. It shows that even though all of these look disparate and different, they all come from one source. They all come from one unified place of strength. They all come from the trunk. They all come from the eitz. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikimah. That's what the Torah provides.
But the roots are also...
So I thought of that also when Rabbi put it that way. I might even claim if we're really going back to which we're going to the Enoch Hashem Elokecha, the Enochim, and the Aleph. So how would you deal with that?
Well, the roots are connected to the source.
The roots are also connected to the source.
The roots are the source.
I would say perhaps that is perhaps what Tzipi was kidding around about and hinting to. That yud in the center is that seed from where everything comes from. It still has all of its genetically, it's all coming back to one unified source. It all stems from one place, from one infinite place of origin. Infinitely small, infinitely unified place of origin. And that's that seed. I thought of that question also, and that's how I dealt with it in my mind. I wasn't going to go there if somebody didn't bring it up, but that's that yud that you were hinting to Tzipi. I think. There, Chavshar. But either way, there's two perspectives to look at it. You can look at the trees, you can see the disparity of the branches, or you can look at the unity that comes in the trunk. The world of the Asarah Ma'amarot is a world of duality and a world of paganism. The world after the Aseret HaDibrot is one of unity. And so it begins with that letter that defines and demands unity and oneness. It starts with the Aleph. It presents to a world of duality the possibility of an underlying unity. The possibility of a oneness. The possibility of a Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And whether that's the paganism of old, whether it's two gods or multiple gods, or whether it's the paganism of postmodernism, which is, there are endless numbers of truths, there are endless numbers of branches, and there is nothing that unifies them. It stops at me and my perspective, and ours are distinct, and that's okay, because we all are right in our own way, and it doesn't matter. There is no unifying, underlying truth. Whichever the paganism of the day may be, that disunity that's expressed within the world through the Bet is combated by the unity of the Aleph, of the demand that there is a singular, unified, definitive, underlying source of everything. When the world receives the Torah, it receives its unity. And everything that the Torah produces stems from that. Everything the Torah produces stems from the Aleph. It's interesting to me, Rebbe didn't go back to this pasuk, but I think it's a Davar Pashut. And I even structured it intentionally that way. Even the pasuk itself that says what the goal of the Torah is, that the Torah itself, that breach of the Torah provides life to the world, in lo briti, then there would be no point in having this reality of duality. In lo briti yomam v'alayla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. I would never have created a reality with this pull, with this paganism, with this duality in it, if not for the fact that there needs to be, if this never gets produced, if there's never that breach, if there's never Matan Torah, and all there is a reality of this contrast, of this contradiction, of this duality, if that's all that there is, it can't exist. Because it denies the oneness of God and the source of all things. So if on Yom HaShishi we don't accept the Torah, it's gone. Because then it's just Sheker. But the moment that we accept it, we accept upon ourselves the capacity to shine the light of oneness into the world. The capacity to say, once a day, or twice a day, or three times a day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to cry out to the world that there is a God, there is an ultimate truth, and it is one. And it is indivisible. And it is ultimate truth. And there's nothing else to talk about.
No, just brain thoughts.
Thinking is good? But that's what it all comes back to. We're going to stop there for today. We didn't get to move past the Aleph. But Bezrat Hashem, so next Monday, Bezrat Hashem, we'll extend all the way into the word Anochi. Bezrat Hashem, on Monday.